what Liz had to say with the don't despise the day of small beginnings. And we talked about that last week with the mustard seed and how it's really, really tiny, but it grows, and not to despise the day of small beginnings. And what I really love about that verse, and what I'd never really taken much notice of until I guess I looked at it a bit more last week, was that it says that the Lord delights to see the work begin. And I know we talked about that last week, but I just want to say, you know, God delights when we step out with something that it might seem small, but when we step out and do it, God delights to see that work begin. So today we're going to look at some other things that we're going to look at another parable of Jesus that he spoke about the rich fool and its purpose. Purpose 2012. And can I say before we start, thank you to everybody who gets themselves here early on a Wednesday morning, who spends a lot of time setting up to make this place a place where people can come and feel welcome, be amongst friends, commit with God. So important. The girls do a fabulous job. They just do a fabulous job. And it wouldn't happen without them. So thank you to everyone who makes Wednesdays possible. Let me read to you one of Jesus' parables. This is the last one that we're going to be looking at. It's the parable of the rich fool, and you'll find it in Luke 12, starting at verse 13. Someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." And I want to ask you this morning, who is going to get everything that you worked for? Is God going to be the one that receives everything that you work for? Or is what you're working for today just something that's going to be here today and gone tomorrow? Jesus was really straight. Like, I look at this and I think, oh my gosh, like, he was just really putting it out there. And he said, "You're a fool. You're a fool if you think that the things of this life matter. You're a fool if you think that the material stuff that we feel like we have to have actually really matters, because it doesn't. What really matters is a relationship with God." And so as we look at this parable today, I want us to think about a few of the things that I believe Jesus was bringing to the fore here. Because after this, if you read a little bit further on in Luke, you actually read a couple of really interesting, they're not stories, they're I guess it's Jesus teaching his disciples a little bit more. And he talks to them about possessions. He talks to them about being ready for God's coming. He talks to them about what is really important in life. And I find that quite amazing. It's like he takes this parable and he talks about it and he tells it to the people, and then he says to his disciples, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink." We know the chapter really well from Matthew, but this is the same. It's the parallel chapter written from Luke. And he goes on to talk about all of this other stuff, and he's saying, "Don't worry about what you'll eat and drink. Don't worry about that. Be ready for God." I want to look at what Jesus was bringing out, and I believe there were three things that he was talking about here. The first one is greed. He was talking about greed. He says to them, "Don't be greedy for the things of this world." The second one is complacency. I think in this parable, this story of the rich fool, he says, "I've got enough. Eat, drink, and be merry. I don't have to do anything more." Complacency. And then he brought up self-interest. "I'm going to store the barns. I'm going to build bigger barns and store everything for myself. I am going to just get more and more, stick it all there, and just have it all for myself." And Jesus addresses these three things. And I started to think to myself, if Jesus is addressing these, what do we actually need to do? How do we actually need to behave? What is the antidote, if you like, to greed, complacency, and self-interest? I am thankful that I have never been bitten by a poisonous animal. I have a friend who got bitten by a funnel web when she was a kid. Not nice, but I have never been bitten by a poisonous animal. But if you are, and I heard on the radio the other day that since there's been an antidote to the funnel web bite, nobody has died. Get the venom, you get an antidote. One is death, one is life. I thought we should talk about the life side of things. What's the antidote to some of this stuff? What is the antidote to greed? Well, I think what Jesus is saying is the antidote to greed is generosity and trusting in God. The antidote to greed is generosity and trusting in God. Are we trusting in God for the things? He goes on to say, you don't need to worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, simply because your heavenly Father knows that you need them and he will give them to you. So are we trusting God enough to trust him to give us those things when we need them and to just get on with being generous with what we already have? You know, he says, beware and guard against every kind of greed because life isn't measured by what we own. In a sense, our life is measured by what we give away. Our life is measured by the generosity that we extend to other people. You know, one of the motivations I think behind greed is fear. So if we deal with the fear of not having enough and we trust in God, then we are enabling God to work in our lives. And that's a really, really, really important thing. In Luke 12, it's one of those ones. In Luke 12, 32 to 34, if you read that through, it's actually all about generosity. I'm not going to read it now because it is fairly long, but it's all about generosity. I will just read a couple of verses at the end of that. It's verses 33. It says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, if you take a good look at my wallet has a few holes in it, and I'm a bit worried that eventually the money's going to fall out. Earthly stuff disintegrates. It gets holes. People steal stuff. Stuff happens. You know, we've all experienced that kind of stuff. And what Jesus is saying is be generous. Don't store up for yourself. Be generous. Give to those in need. I'm challenged by this because it says sell everything that you own and give to the poor. And I think, I'm not so sure that I want to just sell up everything. What is Jesus actually saying? He's talking about an attitude that says that the things that I have actually don't matter, but the poor do. The things that I have don't matter, but poor people do matter. Poor people matter to God, and I need to use what I've been richly resourced with. And girls, we have been richly resourced by God. I need to use what I've been richly resourced with to give to those who are in need. Richly resourced. Because our heart is always where our treasure is. Whether you like it or not, whatever you focus on is where your heart is. And if you're focusing on material stuff, that's where your heart is. If you're focusing on the kingdom of God and on generosity, then that's where your heart will be. So girls, where's your focus this morning? What are you focusing on? Where are your riches? What do you do with them? What are your riches? What did you consider your riches? Can I encourage you to be rich in good works, as it says in 1 Timothy 6:18? It says, encourage those who have wealth to be rich in good works. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous. There's that word again, generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. That's a challenge, isn't it? Always being ready to share. But I like the fact that it's all about attitude. It's about what's going on inside of us. It's about where our focus is. What is it? As we look at Purpose 2012 and we look at next year, where can we be generous in the kingdom of God? Where can we be generous to other people? What can we do to help those who are in need? That's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? A real challenge for all of us. Be a good steward of what God has given you. Can I say it again, girls? We're really rich. We are really rich compared to the rest of the world. Really rich. And I know sometimes it's tough. Did a survey just recently, and guess which country came out on top as being the wealthiest country in the world? Australia. Per capita, per what we earn. When they measured it, we were on top. We are a very incredibly rich country. And I believe that we need to take responsibility for that and say, let's use our riches for the kingdom of God. Let's use what we have been so generously given by God, so generously been given, to be generous to those in need. Really generous. We've got our community action in Tamlock. Can I encourage you, $25 is hardly anything. Like, I probably spend that much on coffee every week. Like, I mean, it's hardly anything. You know, it's honestly, we need to learn to go without so that other people can have. You know, my $25 might buy me a few cups of coffee, but it changes the world of a child. It changes the life of a mum who is struggling. It provides. I'm a bit concerned about just one pig, Heather. I'm thinking that you probably need two to multiply. I'm not sure how that works. I'm a bit interested in how one pig can really. Anyway, won't go there. I think you need two. Just saying that, girls. Maybe you can breed with someone else's pig. Yes, yes. But you can buy a pig. Like, honestly, girls, there is so much. Let's be really, really generous as we approach. We don't have to wait till January. We can start today. We can start today. Be really, really generous. The second thing that Jesus dealt with the fool, this rich fool, was complacency. What does he say up here? He says, this guy says to him, I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And then listen to what he says. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. What a sad person that is. Here he is saying, I don't need to do anything else. I'm just going to eat, I'm just going to drink, I'm just going to be merry, just going to have fun. Complacency. We can so easily get complacent and think that there's no more to do, that we're happy, there's nothing else that we have to do. Can I encourage us all? There's a huge amount. There's a huge amount to be done. And what's the antidote to complacency? The antidote to complacency is simply activity. God activity, not just any activity. Activity and readiness. Readiness for the return of our Lord. Readiness for when there's a need. Readiness. See, if we're complacent and a need comes up, we can't do anything about it because we don't care. But if we're ready and we're ready for service, then we won't be complacent. Jesus says in verse 35, if you read a little bit further on, be ready for whatever comes, dressed and ready for action with your lamps lit. I love that. Dressed and ready for action. That is not complacent. If you're dressed and you're ready for action, you're not taking it easy. Do you know our soldiers who fight around the world and try and keep peace around the world are not complacent. You cannot be complacent in a place like Afghanistan. You just can't. And I think that the fact that, the news through the week has shown that you can't just be complacent. But they are dressed and ready for action. Dressed and ready for action. The person in the army doesn't sit back and think, oh, I don't think I'll bother with my clothes today. I'll just wear my casuals. Don't think I'll worry about my camouflage gear. Don't think I'll worry about the helmet. Don't think I'll take my gun. Couldn't care less. What's going to happen? Like, yep, not. Get complacent, stuff happens. Do you know what happened to the rich fool? Said God was going to ask him for his life that day. Now, Jesus was telling a story. But let's not get complacent. Let's be dressed and ready for action. Be ready. Is that old thing, a Boy Scout is always ready. Be prepared. I was never in the Boy Scouts. I was in the Guides, but we had different... My husband was in the Scouts. Be prepared. A scout is prepared for everything. And so I really believe that what Jesus is saying here is be prepared. Don't think that just because you've got stuff or that stuff's going well, that you can just sit back and not worry. He's saying be active in pursuing God's purpose for your life. Be active in pursuing his purpose for your life. a little bit further down, as you read through here, he talks about servants and stewards and how they are to be doing and be active in what the master has called them to do. And if they think that the master's gone away for a long time, and if they think that they can just eat and drink and carry on, then the master is going to come back and he is going to say, where's everything that I've been expecting? What have you been doing? I would hope that that never happens to any of us. When Jesus returns, what are we going to say? I don't want to be in a position where he says to me, should have been doing something, what do you think you've been doing? I want to be in a position where he says, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the reason is that there is so much to do. We serve an almighty and incredible God. He's an amazing God who has given us, Pam said it this morning, given us everything. We haven't had to pay for anything that God has given us. He has given us and given freely. And he has given us life. And so let's get on with the cause. Let's not be complacent. Let's not think, oh gosh, it's okay. Do you know what the proverb says? Proverbs 18:9, a lazy person is as bad as someone who is destructive. It's a challenge, isn't it? A farmer too lazy to plough his fields at the right time will have nothing to eat. Well, we would go, duh. Oh, that kind of seems pretty obvious. But what's the Bible saying? The Word of God is saying that if you don't get about what you're meant to be doing, then you're going to end up losing out. And if you're going to live in a lazy way, and if you're going to be complacent, then you may as well just be destructive, because in actual fact, that's what you're doing. I find that really, really challenging, because you know what? I think all of us have a tendency to laziness. maybe it's just me. Oh, I don't really want to do that. Do I have to? Well, actually, it'd be a really good thing, because yes, it'd be a good idea if I did. Mainly because God's ideas are better than my own. God's ideas are much better than my own. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. And I think if we remember that one thing, that will be a perfect antidote for any laziness and any complacency. Whatever we do, when we get out of bed in the morning, when we go to work, when we come to women's, when we go out with our friend, when we are, whatever it is that is in our life from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed, whatever we do, do it for the Lord. Whatever we do. I love that, because it really is an antidote. And we can ask ourselves the question, is what I'm doing something that I'm doing for the Lord? Am I doing this for God? Not because someone's watching me. Not because I've got someone saying, you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. No, we want to do it, and we want to do it for God. It's working always as working for the Lord. So I want to ask us a couple of questions. Where am I complacent or in danger of becoming complacent? Where am I complacent or in danger of becoming complacent? And then maybe think, what practical steps can I take to make sure I stay active and engaged in kingdom purpose? Now, that might be different for every one of you, but can I suggest a couple? Life group? Reading your Bible? Just a couple of little things like that, you know. Just little things, actually. If you could go to life group and read your Bible, I reckon you'd be pretty actively engaged, because sooner or later, you would have a God desire in your heart to follow. And I reckon that if we can get this stuff, this only basic stuff, if we can get that right, what steps do we have to take? Maybe there's some attitudes that we need to deal with. Maybe we have an it's okay and I don't care attitude that really needs to be dealt with. Whatever it is, deal with it. And I ask this, you notice it says I, it doesn't say you, it says I. Because I want each of us to ask ourselves individually. I don't want people sitting at the table going, oh, Anna's getting a little bit complacent over there. I think she needs to change some things. Sorry, Anna. Anna's probably one of the least complacent people I know. This is not about that. That's why it's an I question. What do I personally need to do? What change do I personally need to make? You know, sometimes we read verses in the Bible and we're really good at going, wish so-and-so did that. That'd be, if they just did that, Jesus has put them in the Bible for you and for me. And if I just did that, then maybe I wouldn't be so worried about what everybody else was doing. Let's focus on getting it right, girls. Where am I complacent? The third one, I guess, is the whole self-interest thing. The drink and be merry, store it up for myself, have everything in my own barn. Like, just... self-interest really annoys me. Sorry, but it does. I know that all of us can be self-interested, but when our focus is in self and in what we do, it's just horrible, because life is bigger than that. Life is so much bigger than that. And this guy had self-interest. That's all he had. He just wanted self-interest. The antidote to self-interest is God's cause and God's kingdom and God's purpose. It's about having a cause that is bigger than yourself. The cause of your life, girls, is not so that you can get stuff. The cause of your life is to become everything that God's called you to be and to do everything that He's called you to do. And it's huge. And it's exciting. And it's fun. There is a call and a cause. In verse 47, Jesus says, "A servant who knows what his master wants but isn't prepared to carry it out will be punished." We are called servants of God. Let's be active as servants. Let's be active. You know, Jesus said that we show our love for God by being obedient to Him. That's how we show love. And a servant has a job to do. A servant has a job to do. Luke 17, 7 to 10. "When a servant comes in from ploughing or taking care of sheep, he doesn't just sit down and eat. He first must prepare his master's meal and serve him supper before eating his own. And the servant is not even thanked because he is just doing what he is supposed to do. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, 'We are not worthy of praise. We are servants who have simply done our duty.'" Now, if you're a little bit like me, you like to hear that you're going okay and that, you know, a bit of thanks. And I think that's really good. I think we should be encouraging one another and thanking each other. We should have a heart of honour and respect for one another. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we are doing just what we were meant to be doing. And Jesus is pretty tough. It's pretty straight, isn't it? You don't get him. The master doesn't thank his servants, he says. The servant comes in and does everything, doesn't get to eat until he's done. You see, we want to put our interest first. We want to do the eating first and then forget about the rest. Whereas he said, no, there's work to do. There's a job to do. Purpose 2012, we want to thank everybody and celebrate the great things that people do for the kingdom of God. But we also want to encourage people to take it up a step, to move out into the community more, to be serving where God's called you to serve, to just raise it up a level. Not because we're going to get thanked. It's not about that. It's about doing it because God has a call and a purpose. And I said it before, His plans and His desire for my life are way better than anything I can think of and anything that I can come up with. And so let's get on board with what God is doing. There's another thing that always challenges me in this. In Luke 12:48, when he's talking about the servants and the stewards, he says, "Much is required from those to whom much is given, and much more is required from those to whom much more is given." Remember the story of the talents? Heather spoke about it on Sunday. Servant gets more, and then he gets more responsibility. And do you know what? That more responsibility is going to be required more of him and more responsibility. But don't get scared about it, girls, because it's fun. It's a journey. And do you know what? As you take it and you invest, as Heather said on Sunday, into the kingdom of God, then you will find that you will be getting a reward to reinvest into the kingdom of God. And as you take on that responsibility and as you take on that service and as you do what God's called you to do, yeah, sure, much will be required of you, but it says much has been given. To the one that much has been given, much is required. Let's not forget that God has given us every single thing that we have. I live and breathe today because God has given me breath. Not because I chose to, but because God allows it. Everything I do is because God allows it. We have been given love and grace and hope. So we're to be active and we're to be responsible. We're to think about the things of the kingdom of God. I think we need to start thinking in our lives about, not so much about how will this affect me. Who's ever asked that question? I wonder how this will affect me. Yeah, most of us would have. Can we turn that question around just a little bit and say, how can I make a difference for someone else? Not how is this going to affect me? How is this going to make a difference for someone else? How am I going to make a difference for someone else? Most of us would be pretty quick to think through the things that, you know, would affect us. Maybe you've got to get up earlier. Maybe you've got to do something, spend a bit more money, whatever. And we always think of the self-interest bit. I want to encourage us this morning. How can I make a difference for someone else? It's all about the attitude. As we approach next year, now I can't believe how quickly this year is going, but as we approach next year, let's have an attitude that says, how can I make a difference for someone else as I go about my life? How can I make a difference? How can we, as City Life Women, make a difference for someone else? How can we do that? We can think about those things. How can we do it? What practical things can we do to make a difference for someone else? I get in every week it's just a little coaching thing, I guess, that comes through from a lady called Valerie Burton. She's a Christian coach in America. And she had this really little interesting article this week about a woman who was always just complaining about the husband's towels that were left on the floor. Now, for those of us that don't like having to pick up wet towels, I guess we can all that. But she said, and I thought it was really interesting, there's a couple of different ways of approaching that. And she said to this lady, do you think your husband is ever going to change? And she said, probably not, because we've been married now. Now, they had a reasonably good marriage, so the towels on the floor were not, you know, it was not marriage-breaking stuff. But what she was saying was that the towels on the floor really bothered her. It was self-interest. It was bothering her. Didn't seem to bother anybody else. Do you know what? This lady said to her, is the other person going to change? No, we can only change ourselves. We can only change our attitude to it. I can't change the fact of broken glasses in my place because they just happen. I have a choice as to how I approach that broken glass. Do I get upset about it and annoyed and frustrated? Well, I could. But I try not to. Because you know what? It's not done deliberately. I have a choice. The choice is, it's called this. It's called going and getting the dustpan and sweeping it up and saying it doesn't matter. It's only a glass. See, we have a choice. And when it comes to serving the kingdom, we have a choice. We can complain about it and we can think about the self-interest involved in all of it and we can carry on about it. And do you know what? Let's change the attitude. Let's just change the attitude and say, I can do something about this. For the lady with her towels, she figured out her husband was probably never going to change. She figured it probably wasn't worth the continued nagging. And girls that are married, the Bible does say something about nagging wives being a pain in the neck. So maybe we need to stop it. Is it hard to pick up the towels and put them in the bathroom, put them in the wash? No. Just do it and do it with a right attitude. Do you know what? That one little thing was life-changing because it helped this woman understand that she had a choice. She had a choice. She didn't have to be stuck in the self-interest, self-pity, everything's horrible attitude, but she could rise up above that and say, I can make a difference in the life of someone else by putting away the towels. A little thing. How can we make a difference in the life of someone else? What attitudes are we carrying that we need to get rid of? What attitude will I choose? What attitude will I choose when I get out of bed every morning? What attitude will I choose? Will I choose an attitude of generosity? Will I choose an attitude of activity? And will I choose to obey God's call for a cause greater than my own? I hope so. I have bad attitude days too, everybody, so it's all right. No, it's not all right. Got to deal with the bad attitude, girls. You might think it's okay to have a bad attitude day. Well, actually, it's not, because it rubs off on everybody else. A bad attitude is not okay. We need to have a good attitude and a right attitude and a God attitude to everything that we do. So can I encourage you, girls? As we close today, let's think about it. We are servants of the most incredible God. He is a gracious, loving, caring master. We are not mistreated servants. We are servants who have been given everything. Everything. Are we good stewards of what we've been given? Do we have our focus in the right place? Are we generous with what we have been given? The good servant is generous toward the other servants in the house. The good servant was generous in looking after the master's property and in caring about what he did. Are we going to be that good servant? Or are we going to be like the fool that says, I'm just going to store everything up for myself? Because one day our life will be required of us. And what are we going to say? I'll leave you with that thought. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Why don't we stand? Thank you, God. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for each one of us here that we'll be able to get hold. Just get a hold of generosity. Get a hold of the cause. Get a hold of your kingdom purpose for our life. Get a hold of the fact that we can make life better for other people. Father, help us with our attitudes. Help us, Lord, when we struggle and we strive. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with something. It might be an attitude. It might be that you're just feeling tired, whatever it is. Just bring it to God this morning. Bring it to God this morning. Maybe, I don't know, everybody, if you just have your eyes shut and your head bowed so that people can just have the privacy to connect with God now and make a change. If there's something that you need to bring to God, maybe just pop your hand up. Maybe there's something that's got in the way. Maybe you don't even know who God is, or maybe you're struggling in that relationship. Can I encourage you to make a choice for a relationship with Jesus today? There is just nothing better than serving our amazing King. And if that's you today, just pop your hand up in the air and we'll pray. And just bring to God all those things. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you care about us. I thank you, Father, that you want relationship with us. And Father, for the women this morning who are putting their hand up wanting relationship with you, I pray, Father, you would meet them where their need is and that you would draw them into your kingdom, Lord God. Father, for the women who are struggling with some aspect of attitude or something that is in the way, Lord, I just ask, Father, that you would bring your Holy Spirit to deal with that situation. Father, that we as women would let go of the things that hold us back and that we would embrace you. We would embrace your kingdom and we would embrace your purpose, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.